Chapter 39. It was little wonder why Commander Solange had been assigned to Five Point Station. There was nothing there that the Empire wanted, so it didn't matter that she was utterly incompetent at her job. Once Commander Solange had set Jin up with all the supplies she needed, she left, stating clearly when she'd be back and that all droids and other officers had been banned from her office. As long as Jin was quiet, she'd be fine. Jin waited several hours and immediately turned to Commander Solange's databanks. She was no slicer, but it was easy to break through the commander's meager protections and scan the least secure files. She flashed everything to a portable datapad she stole from the commander's office. Maybe Commander Solange had thought that Jin's forgery skills were outdated, but Jin had just downloaded clearance codes for any ship she wanted to steal in the future. It'd be easier to get paid than to steal a ship. So Jin focused on the task at hand. Forging the Paso's palace credit chips didn't prove as difficult as she'd feared. A replicating holograph provided her with the casing image, and while the internal security of the chips was complicated, it was nothing that a little patience couldn't solve. Jin created a pile of Paso palace credit chips, all of varying amounts, and even scuffed them up to make them look older and used. As with any counterfeit, a close examination of the credit chips would prove these were false. But Jin had had Commander Solange buy up a couple thousand legitimate chips, and when she mixed them together, it was impossible to tell which were real and which were not by sight or scan. When Commander Solange returned, the chips were done. "Oh," she breathed, "these are marvelous." "Remember the plan," Jin said. It was Commander Solange's own strategy, but she didn't seem eager to follow through. "Use these to win a little. Stick to games of skill, like Sabacc, and not just chance. The Wheel of Fate never plays outside the house's favor." Commander Solange nodded, but she was distracted, her eyes glued to the credit chips. "A little at a time," Jin reminded her. "Don't blow it all at once." "If I do, you can just make more," Commander Solange said. "That's a bad idea," Jin snapped back, but she wasn't sure the commander heard her. "Flood the gambling hall with fake chips? They were sure to be caught." The whole scam relied on Commander Solange winning in a slow and steady way. "Right, well," Jin checked her own credits. Real Imperial credit chips. Commander Solange had paid her 1,000 credits, as promised. "I'm gone." "Not off the station," Commander Solange called. "What?" Jin whirled around. She'd intended to use the credits to buy passage on a ship. Any ship. "At least for a few standard weeks," Commander Solange continued. "I've banned your scan docs from leaving 5 points, and I've posted your picture in case you try to bypass that. Must be sure this works, and that I have no future use of you." She tossed Jin a communicator. "Just in case." Jin ground her teeth. There was no point arguing. This was what you got when you dealt with the Empire. Jin rented a bedroom from an older man near the wall of the main floor of the station. He left her to her own devices, and the rent was both cheap and accepted on a weekly basis. Vegetable protein straws and nutritive milk was a bland diet, but it kept Jin from bleeding funds. She only had to survive a little while longer, and she could escape. The communicator, obviously, had a tracker in it. Jin popped it open, pulled out the tracking device, and left that in her apartment. She kept the comm link in her pocket, just in case. Every day, when the lights blinked to indicate a change in the 12-hour shifts, Jin walked around the station. She kept her eyes and ears open. She wanted to know who had ships, who was looking for off-station work, who was going where. The second Commander Solange gave her clearance, Jin was leaving 5 points, for good. She'd be happy never to visit another station in her life. She always circled back through the park in the center of the station. She watched the beggars, their palms open on their knees. She had more credits clinking in her hidden pocket now, but she didn't share them. Instead, she waited.
"Seat taken?"
a man asked, indicating the bench Jin sat on. She shook her head.
"I've seen you here before,"
the man said. Jin tucked a piece of hair behind her ear.
"You have?"
He nodded. If Jin had to guess, he was about 10 years her senior, with rough knuckles that indicated he used his fists often.
"Pretty little thing,"
he said in a lower voice, leaning closer to Jin. She didn't move away.
"Why don't you come back with me?"
the man asked. He jerked his head toward the wall.
"I've got a little place nearby. Shift's about to change out."
"No, thank you," Jin said, in as neutral a tone as she could. The man's eyes narrowed.
"You waiting on someone?"
Jin looked around the park. There was no one there but the beggars.
"No,"
she said.
"So, have a bit of fun."
Jin pressed her lips together and shook her head again.
"What, you're too good for me?"
the man asked. Jin held her hands primly in her lap and stared straight ahead.
"Fine,"
the man spat out, standing.
"Cold-hearted calf,"
he muttered under his breath as he stormed off. Jin counted to 100 in her mind. When the man didn't return, she stood up and crossed the path to where a Halloon youngling crouched in supplication. She tossed the credits she'd picked from the man's pockets into the Halloon's outstretched hands and left the park. The evenings she spent in Mosefa's cantina. It was a little more upscale than the inn at which she'd spent her first night, but it was also a favorite among the people who used 5 points as a base of operations. The 5 planets of the system circled a single star, and the space station was positioned in the gap between Rumitaka and Seitote, making it an ideal location to reach all 5 with relative ease. Each planet supported life, had various minerals, and had its own loose governing system, although their power was ostensibly curtailed by the Empire. Trade was frequent, both between planets and with other systems, and everything came through the 5-point station eventually. And it seemed everything came through Mosefa's cantina as well. Jin's practice was to go early, about 2 hours before the end of the day shift, and stay at least 2 hours into the night shift. She'd order a large blue mappa, a weak drink even before Mosefa's crew watered it down, and sip on it for as long as possible. She kept to herself, with her scarf pulled over her head, and usually she was ignored. The few men and women who'd approached her had been able to tell early on that Jin wasn't interested in them. And Mosefa himself had taken a liking to his new young regular, who tipped well and never caused trouble. The table between the door and the mini-hollow entertainment was the perfect spot. Quiet enough that Jin could hear people talking, but distracting enough that few noticed her listening. Their eyes slid over Jin, lingering in the shadows, to the meter-tall projections of an apparently popular band led by an attractive female Fryin. She was a better dancer than singer, using all 4 of her arms to her advantage, and Jin appreciated just how distracting the hollow was to the other patrons.
"Watase's mining is picking up,"
a man said, chugging a glass of something brown and rank.
"The Empire's put in a bid for the central mining system."
"Joinder will never sell to the Empire,"
his companion said. Jin snorted quietly into her glass.
"What's the Empire need all the mines for anyway?"
the first man said, glowering at his empty glass. He beat it on the table until Mosefa came by to refill it.
"They've got enough ore now to build a fleet of ships, but no war to fight with them."
"Maybe they're building more stations like this one,"
his quieter companion mused. Jin's gaze slid around the room as the day shift ended, and the old drunks left to make room for the new ones. A couple near the window, an Asperian male and a human woman, spoke in low voices.
"My client is looking for something rare, an item used during the Clone Wars,"
the woman said in a soft voice. The Asperian responded, muttering so low that Jin couldn't hear him. The woman snorted.
Credits are no object.
Jin always paid attention when it came to jobs. Something with enough pay, or a ship big enough to hide her, and Jin could leave whether Commander Solange allowed it or not. She suspected that's what she'd ultimately have to do. Commander Solange would never easily let go of her little forger. The first hour into the night shift was a matter of waiting. People were coming off their jobs, looking to stretch their limbs and dull their minds as quickly as possible. It wasn't until the second hour, the second or third or fourth glass, that things settled back down. This night, however, there was an anxious undercurrent among many of the patrons. Jin watched, waiting for the news to come to her. And then she heard it. A whispered word, sliding through the bar like Freyan creeper moss, expanding in the shadows and retreating in the light. The rebels. There were recruiters nearby. On the station? Maybe. Guesses of a base being set up in Harara.
They'll buy up contracts, one man said.
They're just looking for fodder,
another snapped back. Jin slammed her glass down on the table, ignoring the way the blue liquid foamed over the side.
The damn rebels. Everywhere she went, they followed, mucking it all up, bringing the Empire down on the people who didn't want to get involved. Why couldn't people just be people? Why did they have to be on one side or another? If everyone would just stop caring so much, maybe the galaxy could actually find the peace everyone claimed they wanted. Jin thought bitterly of Akshaya and Hatter and the blast that had killed them, the shot fired from either an Imperial TIE fighter or a Rebel Y-wing. It didn't matter which one had killed them. They were still dead. And damn both the Empire and the Rebellion for it. Jin nodded to Mosefa as she left the cantina. He shot her a worried glance. She rarely left so early. But she waved at him cheerfully to allay his fears. She was done for the night. Her rooms weren't that far away, but Jin stuck to the well-lit streets near the center of the station until it was time to turn off and head back to the wall. Her mind kept lingering on that word, rebellion. What was the point? Saw had spent his whole life fighting the Empire, and it had cost him his sister, his health, her. Her father had tried to fight the Empire, and it had cost them her mother. And Jin? She didn't even want to fight anymore. And she'd lost Hatter. She heard movement behind her. Jin whirled around, just in time to see a dark shadow, the blur of an arm, a fist connecting with her head. And then the world went dark.